welcome to another episode of Sharing the Hope from the Micah Mason Foundation. I'm your host, Patrick Mason. And today we are joined by Brooke Anthony. Thank you for being on the show. We really appreciate you coming out. A little background about Brooke. She's a 28-year educator, and she feels the service to others. It's always been an important part of her life. Became involved with congenital heart defects in 2021 when she learned about her grandson's upcoming birth. At the 18 to 20 weeks scan, they learned about a very serious congenital heart defect, later confirmed to be tetralogy of the fallot with pulmonary atresia and MAPCAS. And please correct me if I mispronounced any of that.
Yeah, so we say tetralogy of the fallot with pulmonary atresia and MAPCAS. I'll try and say that five times or more. We're quite used to saying it.
Oh, okay, so it's a silent T, fallot with pulmonary atresia and MAPCAS. MAPCAS.
You got it now.
Okay. All right, so her grandson, Cash, was born at Johns Hopkins Hospital July 29, 2021. He battled through four open heart surgeries, two strokes, a pseudoaneurysm, and countless procedures, unfortunately passing away August 17, 2023 at the age of two. The Courageous Cash Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit foundation, was created months later, serving heart warriors and families continuing to battle CHD daily, like our sweet Cash. So thank you again, Brooke, for coming on. We really appreciate it. So we covered it extraordinarily briefly there in your bio, but I wanted to give you the ability to tell it in your own words, your journey into the world of congenital heart defects.
Yeah, thank you. So, wow, the club of congenital heart defects, the club you never knew existed until you became a part of it, the club you never wanted to be a part of. And then all of a sudden, this huge curtain, this huge door opens, and you kind of find this new family, right? So you realize, wow, so many people need so much support, including you, right? And we were one of the families who spent a couple years at Johns Hopkins. We just found so many families that we grew really close to, so many staff members that we grew close to. At Johns Hopkins, they have a new wing called the Pediatric Cardiac ICU. It's a 12-bed unit. They have their own staff. They have their own doctors, surgeons, respiratory therapist, all staff that, being such a small unit, we became really close to them. And we really provided basically 24-hour day, 7-day week care for Cash. And you know, for open heart surgeries, we're there months and months at a time, of course, overnight, looking out, looking at the windows across the courtyard and seeing movement of other families. Wondering, gosh, wonder what they're doing. I wonder if they're feeling how we're feeling. Wandering down the hall late at night to take a shower in the one bathroom. Occasionally trying to feed yourself. I liken it to you're living in the middle of a car accident and you don't even know that you're in the middle of a car accident until you get just a little bit of a reprieve. And then you're in rehab all of a sudden. Right? Just trying to catch a breath. So as Cash was healing during those in-between times, for a little bit of time, we then were catching up on bills and going back to work and then trying to care for each other. Unfortunately, you know, he lost his life in August, honestly, quite unexpectedly. He started doing better. He had been on ECMO for a long time.
Oh, wow.
He started progressing off of ECMO, surprisingly. I mean, it was a miracle. It was 2 hours a day, 3 days, 3.5 days off of ECMO after a couple months, and that's quite unheard of.
Yeah.
And then he coded. So Cash had a bigger calling. And that led to the development of the Courageous Cash Foundation. So over time, the devastation for us has been decreasing with us being able to help other heart warriors and families. And now that's what we do.
Amazing story. And one of the best ways I've ever heard it put about how it is entering into the world of CHD and how traumatic it is. Like you're in the middle of a car wreck. That was spot on. Back to our experience. So your efforts moved into helping other families through the Courageous Cash Foundation. So tell me about the foundation. How did you guys decide to start it? What does it do? Like all about it, as much as you want.
Sure. Cash had open heart number 3, May 15th, 2023. He had open heart number 4, June 19th, 2023. And during those times, you know, he was sedated a lot. And, you know, it was a little bit difficult to interact with him during those times. You know, we would find the smallest opportunities to catch an eye glaze. You know, we were dealing sometimes with delirium, and that's really hard for families, reading books with him. But again, we weren't getting a lot of interaction. So we had to find opportunities to also lift our spirits. You know, before all the hospitalizations, before there were opportunities to hold him, right? And to interact more, to set him up, to wash his hair. And so we were able to get back some from him, but we were missing those opportunities during open heart number 3 and open heart number 4. And so we selfishly a little bit had to find ways to lift our spirits. So we started with little things to help other people, really to help us. So we started with just these little brown paper bags, and we would decorate them, put red stickers on them, put little messages, handwritten messages and stuff, little snacks in, and we would give them to other families on the unit. And we would just do them like once a month. And by the other families giving positivity back to us, that built our spirits. So it started during the summer of 2023. And then that continued to grow for us. As he then passed away, we kept doing those things. So it started with about 24 bags over the summer. As he passed, we continued to need to do things, understanding, quite honestly, why did God give him to us for only 2 years? Why was he even born to just take him back? We had to believe that he had a bigger calling, because there's no one more perfect. I mean, there's other children, obviously, than him. He never had an opportunity to be imperfect in the bigger picture. And so he has a greater calling. Like, he never had a chance to even make a mistake in life, is how I would tell my other children. And so maybe his reason for being is to help others through us. So as we started then doing things like Christmas 2023 came, and we hired a special visitor from the North Pole to come and visit with the other families and their siblings, to provide just a sense of normalcy and joy and play games. And we brought dinner to just like what is normal again. And we had like the most amazing time. And there was a teenager who was going in for open heart surgery the very next day. And he had the best time. Grandparents came and we were like, okay, like this is really good stuff. We were able to raise $900 at Christmas 2023, and we bought 12 10-day parking passes for families on the unit. Okay. So in addition to those, we call them family bags or family snack bags, we put the 10-day parking passes, because one day of parking is like $20 or $25. So we had the family bags. We had Santa Claus come. And sometimes the family bags will not only have food, they'll have a book to read. They'll have a coffee mug, just jam-packed with stuff. So then we're like, okay. Then I filed the 501c3 paperwork. They backdated that till November 2023. So whether it's December or November 2023, then we became official. So then that really just started the ball rolling of all of the things then we start doing, right? So monthly, we do 12 to 24 family snack bags. And we're in Maryland. And so our foundation now, we have people all over Maryland that are kind of helping. We have the family snack bags. We are bringing Santa Claus in right around the holidays. Our goal is now, our goal is Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter to raise $2,520 to buy each of the families on the unit. So now that's a total of 36 families, a 10-day parking pass, and it's $70 each. We were gifted from the Orioles and the Nationals a total of 30 baseball tickets. We gave those out to all Heart Warrior families.
Awesome.
So again, they can have a sense of normalcy again and go to a baseball game, right? Nothing more normal than that. Hopkins called and asked us if we had the resources to put a family up in a hotel because they lived in another part of Virginia. And their baby came in to get set up with a pediatric cardiologist. They thought they were just getting set up, but their baby, their oxygen was really low and their baby wasn't going to leave the hospital and was going in for surgery. And they didn't have a place to stay. So we put them up in a hotel until they could get settled in a long-term place and they wouldn't have to leave their baby. So we've done hotel. I've had families call and ask, could I come and sit with them? It happened to be me. There's other people too, because their child was going in for open heart surgery and they just needed somebody to talk to. And I've been able to do that. Other people will as well. There's just so much that we try to do to support families, to help them, to comfort them. What people don't know is the cafeteria at Johns Hopkins recently closed. The largest coffee shop in Johns Hopkins, they did not renew their lease. So there's no viable way for families at Johns Hopkins Hospital to get food.
Oh, wow. Good grief.
Yeah. So unless you're going to DoorDash or Grubhub, which is super expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no way to get food. So July 26th in Mount Airy, Maryland, Walmart hosted the foundation, and we were able to get 5 carloads of food for families in the pediatric cardiac ICU.
Awesome.
Yeah. So we just took the carloads of food down to sustain families. So, I mean, really, since 9 months, we've been rocking and rolling, and we're just super excited to be able to help families, and we're just going to keep going, and we're really excited about it.
That's fantastic. So you guys are basically just like a generalized support group for families. So, and Johns Hopkins is not necessarily, is it a children's hospital or is it like a general hospital?
It is a general hospital. So they have, I'll call it a tower. They have their own tower called the Bloomberg Building. I mean, I can't even tell you how many floors they have. But they have a PICU, which is about a 49-50-bed unit. That's just a general pediatric ICU.
Right.
And then the new wing of the pediatric cardiac ICU is where we spent most of our time. And any children that have a cardiac condition, so we're talking heart transplants, valve replacement, any cardiac condition, of course, often our kids with tetralogy of the flow, any cardiac shifts over to the pediatric cardiac ICU. And then as children continue to make progress, we say, get ready to move up to ship out. They then go up to the 9th floor, which is the step down unit is moving up. you move up to ship out. Then they also have pediatric oncology. I mean, you have leading research happening at Johns Hopkins. They have a basketball court inside Johns Hopkins where, you know, as children are healing, that's a little known fact. They just do so many amazing things. They bring the superheroes in. May the 4th be with you. They bring Star Wars in full costume. Just amazing things happening at Johns Hopkins. And I mean, we're so grateful to be a part of it and be able to support the kids and really the families. When we support the families, we help their mental health so that they can sit beside their children, helping them heal.
Right. I think for a lot of large children's hospitals, they sort of have that built into the model of the children's hospital. Because, you know, beyond just simply the emergency room and kind of the emergency room, you know, day to day, you have your cardiac unit and your oncology unit, your pulmonary unit, all units that typically have people that stay there a long time. And so your children's hospital is sort of set up for, okay, it's not just the patient, unlike an adult hospital where it's like, it's just the patient. I just have to take care of the patient's needs. At children's hospitals, you have to take care of the families. Like, everybody needs to be there. And so I could see how a general hospital might need a little help in that. It's amazing and wonderful that you guys were able to step in and really help with that in the pediatric cardiac ICU. That's awesome. Do you have sort of a vision going forward? I know you guys are a fairly new organization, so you're probably still kind of finding yourselves, and that's awesome. Do you have sort of a vision going forward about what you want to accomplish in the next couple of years, or is it just sort of, you know, we're going to get what we can and keep moving?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's interesting because the pantry really just developed July 5th. That new when we learned the cafeteria shut down. I was dropping off the donations, the July donations, and I went into the pantry, right? And I was like, oh my gosh, like there's nothing here. And I ended up meeting with a mom. And so this was a Friday, and I ended up seeing a mom in there who had been there about 5 days, and she hadn't left. And all she had had to eat were granola bars, right? Mm. And I met with another mom, and her child had just had open heart surgery. And, you know, she shared with me the strain money-wise on being there. She'd been there several days. And she said, you know, I come up with a can of soup every day. And I eat a half a can of soup in the morning. And I eat a half a can of soup at night because that's all I can afford. And then we were having a board meeting the next day. And I was like, well, that's not going to happen. Like, yeah, we can do something about this, right? Like, we can help with this. So sometimes the things that we're doing develop out of necessity very quickly. And it has to happen that way. Right now, we're having monthly foundation meetings. And as the foundation's growing, we're now starting to break off a little bit into subcommittees. And so our goal as a foundation would be not only to long-term to support heart warriors at Johns Hopkins. You know, that's our home base right now because that's where Cash passed away. Our goal would be to support several major hospitals long-term once we get bigger. I mean, we throw around a lot of different ideas, not only about food, sustaining families' food, but also trauma-informed care of families, right? How we can continue to support them because it is traumatic situations that the family is going through, the things they're seeing and the things they're hearing. We're only 9 months into the foundation right now. So we have a lot of different ideas. We have to reframe our bylaws, but a lot of that is going to be dependent on funding that comes in. We love down the road to be vested in research, but our ideas are big. But our funding also needs to grow. We just look forward to seeing what our families need, how we can best support them, but it also has to balance the funding that's coming in.
Yeah, that's always the limiting factor there.
We're pretty excited about the kickstart we've had so far. We're just super appreciative of the outpouring of support we've already received and the positive feedback. We've had a lot of people reach out to us and just be super grateful of, oh, you know, I received a bag from you guys, or I saw you guys coming down the hall, or you just brought so much positivity. You know, I was having a really bad day. Or even they will reach out on behalf of their elementary school kid who just had surgery. You know, my son, my daughter was having a really bad day and you came in and that was the highlight of the day for them. So just some really unexpected things. We've had some people join the foundation whose child passed away there, and they wanted to be a part of us so that they can feel like they are making a difference. So it's the kind of tentacles have been fantastic for us, and I think Cash would be really proud of us, and that is meaningful.
Yeah, very good. Very good. So switching gears a little bit, tell us about how you found out about the Children's Heart Foundation and your relationship with them.
Well, over the past few years, we were looking for as many resources as we could find because we didn't know a lot. We didn't know a lot about congenital heart defects. We certainly didn't know about tetralogy of the flow. We didn't know about holes in the heart. We didn't know about research. And what was always interesting to me is I have a PhD in education. And so I am a seeker of knowledge. And it was very important to me to be present for rounds at Hopkins. And when you are, at least at Johns Hopkins, there's surgical rounds, and then there's regular rounds, and then there's night rounds. And so we always had a journal, and we wrote daily who are the attending, who are the fellows, who are the daytime nurses. What's his weight today? What are the medications? What are we titrating down? Who are the visitors? What is the summary of the day? So as we made the shift of like our family care team, right? We could follow, you know, was there echocardiogram, whatever was happening. We didn't lose what was happening with Cash's care. And it was always interesting to me because say when the attending would come, I would ask questions. Hey, can you talk to me about why we're using epinephrine instead of this? There's a half-life of this versus whatever. And on occasion, you know, I would be the last person at rounds, right? They would go through and they would say, okay, Brooke, what questions do you have? And it would be my turn. And I would have my questions ready, right?
Yeah.
So they would say on occasion, Brooke, have you been out there Googling again? And I would say, get it right. I do not Google. I use relevant research from Stanford, CHOP, Boston Children's, and I've been reading Dr. Hanley's studies on, did you know in 2019, they did research on mice, and they were like, I apologize, Dr. Anthony, right? No, I'm in education, okay? But they would have a little giggle, and they're like, I won't ask you that question again. And I would go to the Children's Heart Foundation and I would cite research. And so that was one of the places I would go and look, and I would find statistics and I would cite them back. So that was just in my portfolio of learning. And that was an important place for me to go. Long-winded answer, but that's it.
No, that's a good answer. You know, that's an answer I had not heard yet. I think it's a good one to remember that not only does the Children's Heart Foundation support research, you know, in a monetary fashion, they also support it in a kind of getting it the word out. Like the money goes out, but then they also make sure the research actually gets done. And then they tell you this is what the results were, you know, which is the only way you drive forward in science. So,
well, and you can go find specific studies and names. And then you can go track that name to specific studies. And then that provides you more information that is comforting to a family going through congenital heart defects. That's how my mind works as a seeker of knowledge. So it doesn't work for everybody, but that's how I work.
That's good. And probably
annoying to some people, but
that's okay.
It did help. And it helps with the foundation, right? I think, in my opinion, I don't know what Hopkins feels, it helped build a trusting relationship between me and Hopkins in the sense that during some of the procedures, they afforded me the opportunity to stay because of that trusting relationship we had together. There were times things were happening in the room, and I said, can I stay during this? And they said, you know, is the Nana okay to stay? And they're like, she's okay. And I would fade into the background, shut my mouth and put my head down, like when he was extubated. And they did what they did. and they left the room, and I would still be sitting on the couch 10 minutes later. And they're like, you know, he's extubated. And I was like, I didn't know that. And I said, he didn't cry or anything. And they're like, oh, no, they left the room. He's good to go. And like, he won't cry, his vocal cords. And I was like, oh, I just was like quiet, didn't say a word. But I think that as a seeker of knowledge, that trusting relationship, asking questions, thoughtful questions, we had trust. And I would say, I'm asking to learn. I'm not questioning what you know. And that over 2 years, we had a good foundation. And then now when I come on the unit, they also know I'm not taking your time. We're coming on. We're helping. We're leaving. You know, I was on the unit yesterday. And they're like, hey, how are you doing? I'm like, great. You know, you guys are just delivering and we're out here. They're like, oh, we're so happy to see you. You know, so. And sometimes I bring them food. So that's good too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that always helps. You know, I had a similar experience with our son at our hospital. It was right after a paper had come out concerning digoxin for children with single ventricle conditions, which our son has. And, you know, we watched it go into effect. And we were like, okay, why are we giving him this now? And they're like, well, a new research thing came out and it said, just basically just give it to everybody. And it was something they used to do and they stopped doing it and they brought it back and it turns out it was better. And so we looked up the paper and funny enough, years later, I got to meet some of the doctors who had been on that, you know, getting involved in some of these organizations. And you're right. It builds a very large trust factor when you see your institution responding to the research that's out there. That's great. And yeah, I don't think you bother the pediatric cardiac ICU people. They probably love seeing you come in because they know the families are going to be happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, how old's your son now? Because I read about his story.
He's 8 years old now.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. 8, doing well, playing flag football.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Aww. Congratulations to you.
A little on the small side, but he's doing okay.
Hey, he's making it happen.
Yeah.
So that's amazing.
Are you foreseeing kind of a future sort of relationship between the Children's Heart Foundation and the Courageous Cash Foundation? Any sort of interaction with the organization further down the line?
I'm not sure because I'm navigating being a founder of a 501c3. Because
yes.
Nobody tells you how to do the paperwork,
no.
How to run it, how to build it, and how to grow it, right? So that's just so new. I have a lot of interest and a lot of people are vested in the mission, which is great. A lot of passionate heart moms, and I love that. But I also have to build people with a business background, fundraising, and I can't overly tax the heart families because they have a bigger purpose too. And so trying to navigate those things and also spread the wealth of the jobs we have to do. I have certain skills in organizing and being task-oriented, and that's always what I've done, okay? So I have 4 children. My oldest is actually a cardiac ICU nurse in Baltimore at a different hospital. Cash's mom is my second daughter, and quite honestly, she's recovering from his passing, right? So she's not super available, and that's okay right now. And then I have a 18-year-old, and then I have an 8-year-old upstairs right now. So... But my older daughters, they were always raised volunteering, right? They were always raised doing leadership stuff and planting trees and doing things for kids. And so that's how they just grew up, right? And so naturally, they have always been in the service fields. And then, of course, I'm in an admin in the school system. So my multitasking and jobs and, you know, I'm just constantly whack-a-mole all the time. So I need to build my skills in more of the delegating and not always the doing, which is okay. So I think that as we grow, I have to work on those skills and just build capacities in that area. And, you know, we have a lot of ideas and just toning them down to probably a few and making them bigger. And so we'll get ready to launch this fundraising to do the parking passes and just continue the monthly things. And we'll see. talk to the Heart Foundation, because they are more raising money for research. And so we're doing different areas, which is great. And so maybe doing some partnerships because we do different areas is a great thing. And I honestly would like to talk a little bit also with the Brett Boyer Foundation, because we have different and some little commonalities with Brett Boyer Foundation. And I love what they do too.
Yeah. They're a great organization as well.
Yeah.
So forming out of that, if you had maybe Heart families, parents listening to this, and they wanted to get involved either in your foundation or in any foundation, what would your advice be for them?
All right. So let's start with if they're down the line and they want to help. Okay. So if you're down the line and your Heart Warrior is doing better, I want to first say congratulations. I mean, how amazing is that, that you're coming out a little bit on the other side now, and congratulations to feeling more healthy, not only for your Heart Warrior, but also to your family. I mean, there is great joy in starting to be on the other side now, and every day is a triumph. So I love that for you and your family. So let's start with that. The greatest gift you could give us as a foundation is like our page, share our mission, and consider helping and donating to us. Helping in the sense of so many people have amazing ideas and can join our cause. In the sense of if you're local, come and join us for events. You can participate in one event. You can participate in all of the events. It can be as little as, let's just say, jumping on our website or our Facebook page or our Instagram page. You can participate by purchasing a snack. They come directly to my house. They might show up at a Pack the Pantry event and I take directly to the hospital. Purchasing a snack will go in the family snack bags. So that's on the snack end. And all of that goes directly right now to Johns Hopkins Hospital and helps the Heart Warriors and families. You can participate in making a donation. The donations right now all go to purchasing, and it could be a $5 donation. You can sponsor a family with $70, and that buys a 10-day parking pass. So either a food or money. So those are two direct ways. If you're local, you can go with us, right? I failed to even mention, we were at the Hopkins Heart Family Reunion and we sponsored a whole center on make and take music instruments, and the music therapists came and we just had so much fun. So they're in-person events too. You can join us if you're in Maryland. So those are some direct ways. If you have a kid in high school and you were, let's just say, National Honor Society wants to write handwritten notes, you can ship them to me. Things like be brave, be strong, battle on. Those hard handwritten notes, I will stuff those in the family bags that I take up there once a month. Families will hang those up and decorate. And to have a handwritten note, there's nothing like that. And that cheers up the rooms. Heart Warriors see that. So it can be something little. You can make little bracelets. Your Girl Scout troop can make those. So there are so many ways on our website, Facebook. My email is there. It's courageouscash@gmail.com. That emails me directly, and I'm happy to reply to you. So there are a number of different ways to get involved. It could be little, could be big, could be one time, could be several times. Happy to have your support. So let's talk about if a family has just found out about a diagnosis. I'm going to say, don't Google it.
Yeah, that's always the advice. And I don't think anybody ever takes it, but it's always the advice.
There's quite a wide range within a diagnosis. Okay. I know when Cash was diagnosed with tetralogy of the flow, pulmonary atresia, and meniscus, we were told then that there is a wide range of severity. We were told then that he had the most severe. And the doctors were honest with us then. So with his specific condition, they said there's mild, moderate, severe, and then there's Cash. So we knew, but we were like, whatever, there's, you know, there's prayer, there's community, there's technology. And then they said, look, best case scenario, we might be able to get him to 13 years old. And the nurses did end up telling us, like, with his diagnosis, he has 3 1-millimeter collaterals. And then they dropped to 2. They said it's really like a gut punch when we see his and the severity. I think when you get a congenital heart diagnosis, the best thing that you can do is find another family member to take with you to medical appointments. Get a journal and have your family member go with you and write down the information in a journal so that you can make sure you're hearing all the information. Find a community that you can ask questions to and be a seeker of information from the medical community. And I mean, I can only specifically talk about Hopkins, okay? But Hopkins had a great website that talked about the various conditions. So like Cash has 3 conditions wrapped into one. And Hopkins gave us a specific medical website that we could learn information from. And it wasn't Google. And the Hopkins website that they gave us pictures and images and graphics. And I was also able to go to like the Stanford website. And it was like an infographic that I was able to look at the same condition, but it wasn't Google. And I learned how, okay, when they go to do, I can't remember the one procedure they were doing, but I was able to drag and drop and combine, you know, and do like the surgery myself. And I was able to learn, all right, this is what they're going to do and see it myself. And again, it wasn't Google. And I was like, okay. And I felt like, all right, I see what they're doing. I understand. I visually can represent it in my own brain. So build community, take a family member, write things down in a notebook, and just try and take one step at a time. Don't overthink it and don't think worst case scenario. That would be my advice to, you know, a family who receives a diagnosis.
No, that's wonderful advice.
Not saying it's the best because I'm not a mom that has, you know, I'm a nana. So,
but it's, I think the part about having someone else there and having that person write things down, that's a very not often given advice that is actually extremely helpful because it's a trauma situation that you're going into when you're getting this information and everybody responds to trauma differently. Some people get acutely focused on whatever it is that's going on. And to them, they don't need that other person writing down. They're going to remember everything they hear probably until 40 years on. Other people phase out, right? You sort of lose, you know, in effect, consciousness. you're there, but you're not there. And you really, honest to God, you don't know which one it's going to be until you're sitting in the room hearing them talk to you. And so having another person with you who is not, you know, under the gun, so to speak, and can write it down, I think that's an extremely amazing piece of advice.
And different hospitals have like their specialty, right? I knew like Tetralogy of the Flow, Hopkins, Stanford, Boston Children's, there's a few others. But oh, I know, open heart number 3 for Cash was unifocalization. Stanford has the infographic. And you could be the pretend doctor and you can go. And so his little macus, their collaterals, the 1 millimeters, you could get the 1 millimeter and you could drag it and combine it. You could get the other 1 millimeter, drag it, combine it, and it sews them together. Good. And so I could understand the surgery they were doing because of the website through Stanford they provided. And then you stitch it together. And I was like, okay, I visually see what they're doing. But you can't find that when you Google, right? And I was like, okay, I understand. And then you pop it together and then you see the blood start to flow. And that helped me tremendously, right, as an information seeker. And I know with the other conditions, they have things similar, I'm sure, with the specific hospitals that have that specialty, right? But, I mean, Hopkins gave me all that information. And I know that Hopkins have their infographics. It's probably called something else, but.
Yeah, everybody's got their stuff. If you don't know where to look and you just Google it, it's a lot of times it's buried under a load of junk. Very good. Is there anything else you'd like to share about the foundation?
I appreciate the opportunity to share. I mean, I think we really just look forward to continuing to help Heart Warriors and families. I wish there wasn't the need there, but there is. And I know Cash is blessing us, and I called Cash my butterbean, okay? Because when he was born, he was curled up like a butterbean. And my team's coming down now. I think he would be really proud of us. And we look at it as we're helping his friends. And whatever we can do to continue to help his friends, that's what we're going to do.
Awesome. Really great. Okay, so one final curveball question. And so, okay, where is Johns Hopkins for those of us who may not know?
Yeah, that's okay. Johns Hopkins Hospital is 1800 Orleans Street in Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay. And if I find myself in Baltimore, Maryland, where do I need to go eat?
Oh, where do you need to go eat? I can't eat at the hospital, I'll tell you that. There are so many places, whether you're eating down at the Inner Harbor or whether you go to Fells Point. Ooh, I can't tell you one place to eat because they're just at Canton. There's a lot of great places to eat. It's all about the small town feel in Baltimore. Little places. It's Fells Point. It's the Inner Harbor. It's Canton. Too many choices to tell you.
Okay. Well, it's at least narrowed down.
Yeah, couple. And you gotta visit the Baltimore Aquarium, the Science Center. Yeah, so many wonderful places. Yeah.
All right. Well, good deal. Thank you, Brooke, so much for coming on and sharing your story. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it too.
You're very welcome.
All right. Good luck to you, your family, and your son.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.